But what we are doing over the next couple of weeks still fits with the church, because we'll be talking about vision. And today we're going to look at the aspect of being obedient to the vision. And just as we heard there, that's what the Apostle Paul testified to King Agrippa, that he had remained obedient to the vision. So shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to receive from your word that which you would want to sow into our hearts and minds, that you may guide and lead us in our lives, that we too would see and know, just as Paul did, what you would want us to do, both as individuals and as a corporate body of believers. So, Lord, we just commit our time to you now, that our ears would be open and our hearts to hear what you would say to us, and our eyes, that we would see in your word that which you would reveal to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. However, we want to leave Acts chapter 26 right now and go to the Old Testament, and we're going to be looking at Habakkuk chapter 2. So I might give you a bit of time to find that, because it might take me a bit of time to find that as well. But it's a couple of books before the New Testament begins. It's only a small book. It's only three chapters long. If you're using your pew Bibles, we haven't got it up. That doesn't matter, because, you know, that was a reading, wasn't it? In the blue. In the blue, 1456. Has anyone got a red? 930. So you can use your pew Bibles. Blue, 1456. Red, 930. 929. Do we have any advances on 929? Okay. We're reading from the NIV. And in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet is asking God in chapter 1 about the judgment of the people. Habakkuk's a bit sort of ticked off, and I think he's a bit concerned about what's been going on. And it's in chapter 2 that we're going to be looking at just a couple of verses where God responds to Habakkuk. And reading from verse 2, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of an end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay.'" Now, I don't want to dwell on the translation of the NIV too much, but the NIV uses the word revelation, whereas in just about every other Bible that I've resourced or had access to uses the word vision. Now, I'll give you a bit of a Hebrew lesson, because the word vision in the Hebrew is, and I've got it written down here, how it's pronounced. It's spelt C-H-A-Z-O-N in the English spelling, but it's pronounced corzone, something like that anyway. But it's found 36 times in the Old Testament, and in that particular scripture, it is the actual Hebrew word that is used and is generally translated vision. In fact, I can tell you that according to Strong's, there is no Hebrew word for revelation. So when we look at a passage and we study the Word of God, it's handy to have, if you're in New Testament, a Greek dictionary, or Old Testament, a Hebrew dictionary. So you can just check it out and get a greater understanding of the meaning, particularly when you find some book like the NIV translation goes a bit different to everybody else. So God's reply to Habakkuk could be read like this from the NIV, as it would be from other versions. Write down the vision and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the vision awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Some might say that a vision or a revelation are one in the same. However, I would suggest that revelation comes as a result of vision. For me, I would prefer the word vision instead of revelation because it speaks specifically of what one sees in the spirit and rather than that what one understands is something being revealed. So now I've given you a bit of knowledge and I know that if I was Pat, he'd be charging you 5 cents for that. Would that be right, Pat?
It depends on the mood.
But let's just say I've just given you a little bit of knowledge and whether you think it's worth 5 cents or not doesn't matter because you've got it. But in John chapter 20 and verse 29, now we're going to start unfolding into what we're talking about today in being obedient to the vision. And Jesus was talking to his disciples about their faith having come about because they had seen in the physical tense. Okay, so the disciples walked with Jesus, lived with Jesus, did all those sort of things with Jesus, lived life. They saw him. It was easy for them to believe, wasn't it? But in John 29, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen." Blessed are those who have not seen, we're talking about physical seeing, and yet have believed. Now, aren't we all of those who have not seen with our physical eyes the Lord? Yet we believe. But in saying that, who would say that they have seen the Lord? Yeah. How have you seen him? Not in a physical sense? Maybe one or two has, yes? Yes, exactly. That's right. And that's what we're talking about here, that some people actually see the Lord in a vision. And so, just like the Apostle Paul, the Lord appeared to him in a vision. And it is possible for us to have that same vision as well. So, as we look into the aspect of vision and what Habakkuk said in writing down that vision. So when, as a church or as a team, a leadership team, God casts vision and we receive that vision and we are to write it down, to recall it, remember it, to place it on our hearts because it's not something that we treat lightly. Like you wouldn't treat lightly having a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you? You'd be thinking, am I alive? Is this happening for real? Can this be so? Likewise, if God gives you a vision of what he wants you to do, what are you going to do? Are you going to push it aside and say, that's a bit spooky, it's a bit creepy, I'm not too sure what's going on? Why would I ever do that? Talking about what the vision is revealing. Well, the thing is that if it's from God, you have a peace about it. You have an understanding that he is leading you in a way that he wants you to go. And that's what vision is for a lot of people. I would go as far as saying, in regard to vision, if God is not in the picture, doesn't mean that you see Jesus, but if he's not in the picture, then you are moving in your own strength. And as a church, for me as the pastor, I certainly do not want to be moving in my own strength. Or as a leadership team, we do not want to be moving in our own strength. We want to be doing what God reveals to us. What he shows us and how he leads us, that we may have the impact that he has desired for this community of believers known as the River Community Church here in Albury. And when we have that vision, It's not necessarily the whole big picture. He'll just give us one little bit to start with. And as we move on, as we are obedient to that vision, then he will release more and the picture will grow. But you know something? One thing that has irked me in my time of being a Christian is that sometimes the pastor would get up in churches that I've been to and he'd say, "We've got this great vision and we don't go for it. This is a great and mighty year." And everyone's getting enthused and excited. But then the next year, he says the same thing. Changes the vision. Well, I believe that if God has given a vision, it will be ongoing and it will grow and grow and grow, because the intention of it is to impact the community in where we live. It's not to be chopping and changing and being seen as wishy-washy and tossed from one wind of doctrine to another. It's to be focused and going forward in Christ Jesus, to be hitting the target that he sets. And in that regard, I believe that when a church is planted or established, that each church has a redemptive gift. Has anybody heard of that expression, redemptive gift? Redemptive gift is something that the Lord gives to a fellowship of believers that they focus on and continue to flow in to the point that they are impacting the society in where they live. It's not about coming into church and thinking about the gifts of the Spirit, being able to prophesy or speak in tongues and the like. The redemptive gift is what we can do out there in the community, in serving God, in co-working with God, in going out there and making a difference. We can have our worship here and it's fantastic. We can worship the Lord 24/7 if we like. But unless we have a vision and a purpose, and if we're not obedient to that, as one old pastor friend of mine said, it won't be worth a hill of beans. We need to be forward thinking, advancing the kingdom of God. So what's important with regards to a vision? It's important that it's not of the flesh. It's important that it is something that God has revealed to you. We can all have desires. We can all have human fleshly visions, dreams. But the one that comes from God is the best one to be working on, isn't it? For your life and for the life of the fellowship. So my first point would be, in being obedient to the vision, that God needs to be above the vision. We cannot make what we do above God. We cannot take something as a ministry, be it our op shop, for example, and make that the bee's knees of this church. It's secondary. God is primary. God is of most importance in all that we do. It's great having an op shop. It helps support the ministry. And if we were running it like a business, we would have probably closed the doors because it wouldn't have paid wages. But it's a ministry. It has a door that is open that allows people to come in. People who may be in need, and they can buy cheap clothing, bric-a-brac and other types of things that are available. But there's also an opportunity from our volunteers who we just love and encourage them as they are here. Some of them are here today because it is you guys who make a difference to those people. When they come in and start talking to you and they talk about their woes and what's going on and why they're in the situation they are, then it's by being in the volunteer status there in the op shop that you can talk to them and encourage them and even offer to pray for them. So we cannot make the op shop or any other aspect of ministry, such as the food share, bigger than God. It's got to be about him first and foremost. You know, there's a song Be thou my vision, Lord. Is that it? God or something. And that is really what it's about God being our vision. Not focusing on the things that we do that he's called us to do, because he's actually given us those as a vision to enact on them and to build them and to bring about his presence in the community. But if we were, all that we were doing was focusing on those things, then people would be saying, gee, that River Community Church, they got a great op shop. Gee, that River Community Church, they've got a wonderful food share program where you can go and get a couple hundred dollars worth of food if you're desperate. But no, I would rather those people say, gee, that River Community Church, they really love Jesus. They serve their God wholeheartedly. Look what they do out there in the community. You can just see God's love coming through those people. They're just passionate about him. And as we do that, what happens? Lives will get changed. We cannot please God by doing the things we choose to do either. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8 says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So why would we want to do anything in our own strength? We need to be focused, have our minds set on the Spirit, that we can live that life of peace and be that person who can express that to God, to the community as well. It is our relationship with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ that brings us to a point where we can serve God. And it is this serving that comes about when the vision is cast. Frank DiMaggio, has anybody heard of Frank DiMaggio? He's a well-known pastor and author of books on vision in the church, and he says, the spiritually healthy person or church must have a biblically accurate vision that they are continually progressing toward fulfilling. If what you're doing doesn't line up with the Word of God, is it worth doing? If it's not an expression of the good news of Jesus, is it worth doing? What we are doing, for example, an op shop and food share, enables us to be an expression of Jesus. How can that be, one says. How many people did Jesus feed in his ministry? What did he ask us to do? To do the same. So when we help people out, some people might see it as, oh, it's a works-based ministry. But no, it's by our deeds that we show our faith. And that's what we heard read this morning. In Matthew 6:33, and we see Jesus teaching his disciples where the needs of life should fall in relation to God, as he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is saying, don't live by the flesh. Set your mind on what is better. Set your mind on things above. And as you do, God will give you these things you desire anyway. Well, at least if they're any good for you, he will. By seeking God first and foremost, he will lead us into all truth. And if the truth sets us free, what can that do for those who don't know him? If we are part of a vision that leads us into a community that will impact that community to the point of people being saved. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, we read that we are God's fellow labourers, his co-workers, God's partners with us. And it is he who will give us something to do if we ask. The question then arises, what is that something? And I have known people who for years will be waiting for the word from God so that they can finally get out there and do something. But the thing is not to be idle, but doing things that Jesus says clearly will benefit you and your hearers. And I know Rosalind, our scripture reading from Acts chapter 26 and verse 19 shows us that the Apostle Paul was given a clear vision of what he was to do. Did he know that beforehand? No, he didn't even know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour. He was actually doing the opposite, wasn't he? He was persecuting the church. But once he received the vision from the Lord, he set about fulfilling the vision. He had many people who accompanied him in his travels, joining him in the ministry that God had revealed through the vision. And that is what he was sharing with Agrippa. He was telling Agrippa that in his efforts, all he was doing, and now getting into trouble for it, was that of doing what the Lord Jesus Christ had asked him to do in the vision. Is this not how it is today? God casts a vision to an individual or to a leadership team, who then pass it on to the congregation, and they all in turn work together. I believe when vision comes from God, the provision of God is at work in providing for the revealed tasks in miraculous ways. Just as we have seen in the church here over the past 2 to 3 years. So some of you who are visiting us today, you might be saying, well, what do you guys do? You've heard me mention an op shop and a food share facility. What are we working towards? Well, we're working towards outreaching to people, using that as a vehicle that we may be able to touch people's lives and see those lives changed. And in that time, there's been many, many people helped. And I've shared a number of stories in relation to that with the fellowship over the last year. And those stories will continue to come as people are helped. And someone like Esma, who greets and takes down the person's name, can spend time in prayer with them or just in conversation with them to encourage them. Is the vision progressive? Well, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I like the way this proverb is put in the Message Bible. It says, if the people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. You know, our fellowship might be a small fellowship, but we got a pretty big punch. And in the last year, we've helped thousands and thousands of families with food parcels. And in that doing, some people actually call this place their church. We don't see them here, but it's a start. It's a point of contact that they have with a church. So we need to be praying for those ministries all the time, praying for the people who are volunteers in those ministries, that we might see the fruit that God has planned for that. And just a couple of months ago, talking about now progressive vision, I spent some time just relaying to the leadership what I believe God was showing me. Now, as I said earlier, sometimes you can go to a church and 1 year it's this is the vision, the next year it's something different. Personally, I believe that God builds on the initial vision that he has given you. And that initial vision is like the point of an arrowhead. And I see or liken it to grow and come out like an arrowhead. So you know what a bow and arrow is, and what an arrowhead would look like? Let me explain. The tip or point of the arrow is what penetrates, right? As God shoots the arrow into a city, town, region or nation, it is what is behind the tip effectively does the damage when it's fired, if we're talking about an arrow in a hunting sense. So when you think about the broad tip, the broad part behind the tip, it spreads far and wide over the targeted area. It is the body of the arrowhead that makes the biggest impact. And as we begin with a small tip, it is as God casts further vision fitting with the tip that builds the impact of a ministry in its targeted area. So what I see happening in the future is that there'll be things added on to what we are doing already that will complement those things. And by complementing them, it will broaden our impact. A vision, or the vision, is not an end in itself, but a vehicle to facilitate the church being who God called it to be, that it may bring about more people acknowledging God and coming to know him by accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. I'm going to be winding it up shortly with my second and concluding point, which is, as is the title of the message today, obedience to the vision. Vision is not what we do to please God, but rather what we do in partnership with him. The purpose, to build his kingdom. The Lord's teaching on prayer helps us get a handle on those things. Remember these words: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. By being obedient to God's calling, I believe he will continue to cast vision to those who are responsible for the direction of this congregation. Now, I've moved into talking about the congregation, but we know that we can all have vision. We know that God can reveal something to us for a specific purpose. And I believe that as he does so within a congregation, that they, or those visions, should ultimately fit with what the vision of the church is in what God has called us to do. The characteristics of a congregation with vision are an understanding of their purpose in God, understanding its own uniqueness in God, and is willing to pay the price of following the vision. By being obedient to the vision, as received from God, this fellowship can be united in purpose. I sincerely believe that if a person does not connect with the direction of a fellowship, then they are likely to not be where God wants them to be at this time. Damasio says, leadership has two critical components: knowing where you are going and knowing who will go with you. The people willing to follow will face certain faith challenges and take certain risks. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at build unity or undermine it. Vision is a classic example of an area where a person who does not agree with the vision will impose his or her thoughts on what should be happening to everyone other than the leadership. So that meaning... That was a bit wordy, wasn't it? If someone out there in this fellowship doesn't agree with what the leadership's vision is, they'll start yapping in someone's ear to try and get them on side to what they're thinking. when what they should have done, if they were concerned, is come straight to the leadership and ask. And if they can't or don't want to receive what is told to them, then I would say, move on. Bye-bye. See where God wants you to be. Have you ever heard of a pastor saying goodbye? It's not about counting and saying, I've got a church of this many. It's about us being the church that God calls us to be. That's what I was on about in the last month. When Solomon had the vision to build the temple for the name of the Lord, he declared in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 5 that he will build, that what he will build will be great, because God is greater than all other gods. So if we're doing what God wants us to do, it's going to be great, because our God is great. No question. And it's the same for us today. What God calls us to build or do in our labour and co-working with him will be great, because God is greater than all other gods. Let us finish by going back to our reading from Acts chapter 26. And let's just have a look at verse 19 and 20. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Paul's vision was progressive. As we just read in verse 20, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem. You see, his arrow tip was to target Damascus. But then as God built Paul, as he encouraged Paul, as Paul and Barnabas got together, what happened? His ministry expanded, and it reached out to even the Gentiles. So as we push on into 2014, we, the River Community Church here in Albury, should aim to be obedient to the vision God has given us, to partner with him, because it is he that builds his church. And if we want to see what he's going to do, we need to hang on for the ride and follow what he has shown us. Next week, we'll be looking at maintaining the purpose of vision, as we continue encouraging ourselves through the word of what God is doing amongst us and through us. Shall we close in prayer? Father, we just want to acknowledge that you are the vision giver, that you reveal to us things that you would ask us to do both individually and corporately. And Lord, sometimes those visions that we have may be dynamic, or we might even look at them as being minuscule. But Lord, when we see that they line up with your word, may we be encouraged to act on the vision that you give us, that we would, as your people, move forward with you, that we would move forward so that you would advance your kingdom purposes here on earth as they are in heaven, so that your will may be done, that your kingdom may come. So, Father, as your word tells us that young men will dream dreams and have visions, Lord, we ask that you would encourage us throughout this year of expanding what you have revealed to us thus far, building on the vision that each of us has, that we may go forward into this community and have an impact on it, that you so desire. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lionel.